Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the NXT preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamflett, Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT but also Raw, SmackDown, AEW, Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, joined by Hamflett and Sidgwick to look ahead to NXT tonight. And the exciting shows roll on Tuesday nights for NXT. Hamflett, tonight we find out who the new number one contender for the world title is going to be. You looking forward to it?
Ish. I didn't particularly like last week's NXT, but it did end like a trail of about three that I did. So I'm willing to kind of like stick with it. I've liked generally what they've been doing over the last couple of months or so. And the cycle of the 2 week builds has led us to like one of the better matches that I think this brand could offer. It's not that triple threat, by the way, but there's a match on this particular episode that is one of the ones from this last month of these mini TV feuds that I've been looking forward to the most. So I can't wait for that tonight. I've got like really high expectations that I believe will be met. And that's different too, because generally speaking, expectations for NXT matches are a little bit nervy, especially in the pandemic. I think when we return to crowds, that might be a little bit easier to just sort of get excited for things again. But there's at least one match on this card that I'm pretty confident is going to give us like something genuinely, earnestly exciting to talk about tomorrow.
Never in my entire life thought I would say this, at least when I was past the age of about 16 years old. But thank Christ for Raw. Like, thank Christ we've had to sit through Raw. Thank Christ we've had to be just mired in grim, uncanny valley pandemic reality, because Double or Nothing, I don't think I can watch a taped Dynamite show. You know, I'm always the high guy on them. And I think a lot of us have bargained with the fact that, right, there's no atmosphere, but it's new wrestling. It still feels like it's an escapism that's current and part of our lives. Like, you can't go back to no crowds after that. You just can't. But having watched Raw, I can have now 50 people in pods making a little bit of noise, and that'll feel like noise, because just it's the wrong week to watch non-fan wrestling, essentially. And it's probably the wrong week to do a triple threat match after that goddamn three-way on Sunday. But as with Hamflett, that's not the one I'm most looking forward to, because there's one on tonight that feels like very much the best of 2021 NXT. And this triple threat is the sort of thing that, I mean, yeah, I'll probably get 4.25 from Dave. I respect Dave's ratings, but he's generous with NXT. It's exactly the kind of match that people will rave about, but I just can't see myself being invested in, because I feel like I know what the outcome is. WWE triple threat matches are what they are. I just feel like this NXT is going to suffer by comparison. And to be fair, the same might be true of Dynamite.
Speaking of Double or Nothing, just a quick word on that. We will be doing our Double or Nothing review a little bit later on today. I'm sure lots of people wanted to know what we made of that show. But due to the bank holiday, we were unable to do it. So we'll release that later on today. But yeah, you both alluded to it there. I can't remember the last NXT without a title match or a number one contenders match. And yet they don't feel like they've just been thrown on like they certainly used to when their Wednesday Night War was going on. But let's start with that triple threat match to determine who faces Karrion Kross at TakeOver In Your House. It was previewed, of course, on Raw last night. Johnny Gargano versus Pete Dunne versus Kyle O'Reilly. I suppose it's who gets the honour of probably getting murdered by Karrion Kross at TakeOver, Hamplet, and who's your money on?
Well, it's on Gargano because they've built it, you know? They've built Johnny Gargano getting murdered by Karrion Kross for the way being an irritant to Karrion Kross before this match even takes place. The way we're an irritant to Karrion Kross when Gargano was still the North American champion. Like, they planted the seeds a little bit too early to make a match like this not only predictable, but slightly illogical, because Gargano's bouncing off a defeat. You know, William Regal, a guy that we're led to believe has this, like, tempestuous relationship with Gargano every single week, has nonetheless gifted him a free shot at the world title if he can win one match, despite him losing his belt 2 weeks ago. Like, they didn't really work to sort of explain that beyond Gargano trying to turn it into patter on Twitter, which I don't think is really, like, people just don't care enough to care. Do you know what I mean? They just do not care enough about this product to put up a big fight about it. They're just like, well, I fine, because Gargano's been in a feud with him. That's why they're doing this. And Dunn and Larkin versus O'Reilly and Fish feels nicely poised after last week. And that, like, pretty good booking, I thought, of Kyle O'Reilly not making a save for Bobby Fish, believing as the baby face that that's an okay thing to do. And now Bobby Fish probably getting a little bit pissed off about that. Like, that tag match has a lot to it that you quite want to see. So it's neat and it's tidy how they've arrived at all this. But to kind of echo Cedric's point before, I feel like I know exactly how this match is going to look. And it's one I just struggle to get excited about. I really don't mind the booking spinning off it. But the match itself feels like a necessity to get to those separate matches In Your House.
It's a really good point you've made about Gargano and Regal having this on-off thing, because it sometimes feels like they realise that Gargano and Regal have good chemistry. They realise that Gargano's funny playing off him. But there are two reasons why this match shouldn't happen. One, he's losing upwards and the booking makes zero sense whatsoever. Two, you've got that, as Hamphill points out, that established relationship between Regal and Gargano where it's like, well, why would he possibly go the extra mile for him when he's an irritant? One halfway elegant solution to this is that you can babyface Regal by saying, yes, me and Mr. Gargano have our differences and he's a bit of a pest and a thorn on our side. And yes, he has just lost a major match. However, Gargano is part of the fabric of NXT. He's a fabulous in-ring performer and it would be unprofessional and unbecoming of me not to give him this opportunity, given all these blah, blah, blah. Something, something, something that makes me not want to die, die, die. It's how much this product gets rave received in these weird cult circles. They could do something like that. They probably should have done something like that last week. What it is part of the problem with NXT, something that they've failed to grasp. Where they once magpied their way into just this wonderful brand, they are now lagging behind and they are still thinking, spaff three super workers into a match, irrespective of if they deserve it or whatever. Spaff three super workers. It's like addition by subtraction, whichever way around it goes. It's just such a cynical ploy. Three work rate lads in a match and we'll get like a bit of buzz from the nerds. That's what I feel like. That's what's being screamed at me from this match graphic. The booking's illogical. And it's one of those where, because NXT is so often fails to consider these things and in fact the big picture, it's like, who takes the fall here? It's Pete Dunne, who's not wrestling Karrion Kross, take the fall, even though we've spent months and it's been concentrated over the last however many weeks being told, oh, he's really good and he can challenge for any championship he wants. If he's going to take the fall here, because Gargano's probably going to win, it'd be great if Gargano took the fall, but is it too soon to strap? Can Kyle O'Reilly fail for a third time in a big match like this? It's just one of those where, I don't know, there's just no way out of here. It's a Karrion Kross first takeover defense and he's probably going to succeed. So just whoever's going to give him a good match. And that, again, is another problem.
Mm.
Karrion Kross needs a ridiculous super worker to give him a good... Can he not just not Karrion Kross? So I'm dim on all of this, and yet there'll be some sequences here that'll blow you away, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll all feel a little bit underwhelming post-Double or Nothing, which I feel like it's going to be such a big line in the sand.
Yeah, I've got to agree with both of you there. I think we all agree that Gargano wins here. You can spin off, like you say, Hamflet, the Dunn, O'Reilly, Fish and Larkin stuff to probably another banger at TakeOver. And as Sidge said, if anyone can pull a great match out of Karrion Kross, it's Johnny Gargano. But the fact you're having to do that with your world champion arguably speaks volumes. I don't know who takes the fall. I think you're right. It's kind of hard to book either. Maybe O'Reilly, but you can argue that all... I don't know.
You get screwed.
Yeah, exactly. Is he... Unless... Yeah, I suppose... You know what would play well into the Dunn narrative is if he hits the bitter end and then Gargano just gets him out of the way. But he only gets to hit the bitter end because of Larkin and Fish and bollocks like that. But yeah, I think we all agree Gargano wins and he goes on to face Karrion Kross at TakeOver, despite the fact it makes no sense other than, as you mentioned, it's Johnny TakeOver. And he might as well just come out and say it. He'll do something boy-popping with the In Your House set. So yeah, it'll be all right. Right, let's talk about the match we are actually all looking forward to, and that is MSK, Legado del Fantasma for the NXT tag titles. Sidge, when we previously talked about Legado del Fantasma in a tag title match, we were like, yeah, they're good to sort of make up the numbers, whereas now this is genuinely one of the best outcomes in this tag division.
Take everything I've said about the wonky, myopic, illogical booking in this men's heavyweight. I mean, technically, it is a heavyweight because there is a cruiserweight division and Johnny Gargano's in the heavyweight division. That's just so much of it. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Disregard everything I said because they've quietly done a wonderful job with them, Legado del Fantasma. A lot of it elevated through total boy popping bangers. But I think the booking's been there as well. I'm going to bite on the near falls watching this.
Mm.
Like, truly, I will. It's a sort of match where even if it was not... in any doubt of what the outcome would be, I would still be excited and bite on the falls because they work me into them. But I think the bookings already worked me into them as well. And they seem to be going all in on Legado. MSK are a great theoretical chasing team. I could see them do this year. And even if they don't, like, this match should be awesome. Like a 4-starer.
This is complemented as well, Hamflet, I think. As Sidge said, they've built the Legado del Fantasma well. The shenanigans and potentially the added aspect of Santos Escobar on the outside for them may add into it. But also the fact that in waiting, you've not just got one team that you're like, oh, okay, well, whoever wins this is facing the grizzled young veterans next, because then you think, well, it's got to be MSK, because you've got Ciampa and Thatcher there. So it's like, well, if they give it to Legado del Fantasma, then maybe Ciampa and Thatcher beat Grizzly Young Veterans and then they're next. Or as Cedric said, they run it back with MSK at TakeOver, or they just do all the teams all the time.
It's the benefit of actually trying to book a division rather than one team at a time and a set of champions. They've had to pretty much from the ground up start again with that tag division. They were obscuring that problem for the longest time with the Undisputed Era, because you were guaranteed kind of like one, like, TakeOver 4.5-star match that dressed this up as a division when it was really just a set of awesome champions that could work with pretty much anybody. And they've done it this year. It feels like we're at the point where it feels like, oh, this was a project that they kicked off maybe around January, February time. And now we're getting the benefit of that because, as you say, there's all those teams you've listed. There's the impending turn, you would assume, of Breezango that probably brings them back into contention. You've got Dane and Maverick whenever they want to elevate them into being more than just comedic. So there's loads there, which is what makes matches like this far more entertaining, because you're supposed to have a list of contenders for every belt all the time that should want these champions. So you should be able to fantasy book multiple combinations for heels and baby faces. And it's great that these are heels and baby faces here. It's really, really clear who the good guys are, who the bad guys are. MSK, proper like earnest ray of light baby faces on a show with virtually none, which I think is helping them stand out. You know, when all the baby faces are super grizzled or gritty, you know, like, we know Kyle O'Reilly's cool guy, but he's faking it, you know, like that's rooted in grit because he's like, I'm actually really serious and I'm trying to pretend I'm not. Like, that's a facade for grit. They all really want to be gritty. MSK don't. They're just really, really fun and young and glad to be class. And I think that like helps the dynamic of all their matches, because even MSK versus Ciampa and Thatcher, it's an all babyface match, but it makes total sense, doesn't it? Because Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa have got no time for this pissing about. So like, even that makes sense. A bunch of teams, a bunch of characters. It helps every one of these matches, but in ring, specifically in ring, and Sidgwick called this like a potential four starer. That in the way that like you actually feel like four stars rather than the application of four asterisks to the main event. Oh, yeah, I've got to put that down as four. It's done all the, it ticked those 8 of the 12 boxes that you need to make this. This is just going to feel like you're entertained in that way that a four star match is supposed to make you feel.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's move on and talk about some of the fallout from last week's NXT. The million-dollar face-off did not go exactly the way I had hoped with one. Ikari Grabe to the moon! And Ted DiBiase.
Absolute disgust on Hamford's face that you can't see on Zoom.
It was interrupted. It appears that L.A. Knight is the one who's going to be going under the wing of one Ted DiBiase and becoming the next million-dollar man. But Cameron Grimes, it's getting in the right position in terms of fans will hopefully want to cheer him, but they can't make him look like too much of a bitch, to be honest, Hamflet.
Yeah. Grimes and L.A. Knight feels like the match. I'm just trying to work out if that's for television or for TakeOver. NXT has established now the pairings that you just feel in your gut are the ones that they're going to deliver in 2 weeks' time. You know, that 2 weeks from tonight graphic versus a TakeOver one. And I can't figure out this one. And I don't know what that says about Cameron Grimes or, for that matter, about LA Knight, because LA Knight is, like, virtually brand new. He's one TakeOver in, and that was, like, an overachievement. Cameron Grimes is a brand new babyface. So this pairing, in every sense, is pretty fresh. And yet, I don't know. It doesn't quite feel big enough for a TakeOver, other than the fact that Cameron Grimes is a super over character. So I think maybe, are we two NXTs away from In Your House?
Yeah, this and next week.
This and next week, is that it?
13th, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe they'll book it for next week's for NXT then. So 2 weeks from the LA Knight attack, and they book that match for next week's NXT. Cameron Grimes can possibly get a win over LA Knight in that match, and then, you know, can start basically wanting to claim the million-dollar belt as his own to prove that he is the millionaire that Ted DiBiase doesn't think he is. I still don't know quite if it's going to be a master and apprentice thing, and this LA Knight stuff is just a red herring. You know, is this going to be like one of Ted DiBiase's tests or something? I don't know. I was broadly entertained by last week, but none of it felt particularly big time. And Cameron Grimes was getting over to that point where he was like hottest act on the show sort of stuff. And I think last week cooled that a little bit personally.
Yeah, Sid, you said yourself last week in terms of like, you can see fans cheering him, but also yet again with WWE not knowing how to book their baby faces, they made him look like a bit of a tool by just turning his back on LA Knight.
Yeah, bit of an idiot, bit pitiable. Just to echo last week's very briefly before we move on, because I don't know where this goes. And after last week, I'm not particularly sure I care. Cameron Grimes is too funny for his own good. And we've seen that as a heel. Is there such a thing as heat? After Sunday, I'm thinking, yes. WWE, I'm thinking, no. And even Sunday might have just been an aberration. People desperate to feel things. Who the hell knows? Cameron Grimes used to be able to get his heat back just by being funny. Being a babyface is a bit harder to do that because you can't just do something delectably cruel or deluded and just become Cameron Grimes again. Doesn't matter how much arse he shows. It's going to be exponentially more difficult to do this as a babyface, considering that company top to bottom has lost the absolute plot of how to book them. So I worry about Cameron Grimes. I do. But, you know, the fans, I think, when they come back, will just love him. So maybe all is not lost. But the first omens were worrying that they don't know what to do, and he's considered a punchline more than someone who is incidentally funny.
I still have faith. For now, at least. Speaking of people's futures, so do you think off the back of what happened last week, it was sort of weird, they were victorious, but also it seemed to be suggesting that the Shotzi Black on Ember Moon team were going to be focusing more on the world title in terms of Ember Moon potentially being the next number one contender for Raquel Gonzalez's title. I've no doubt that could be a great match for TakeOver. What do you think that?
I'll absolutely take that. The very best moment of that tag match last week was the interaction between Moon and Gonzalez. That's what Moon's there for. She's well past the point now where you can take her seriously. Is this? She was never cool, but she always had an aura. I don't necessarily think it was cosmetic smoke and mirrors with like the lenses or whatever. I don't think she could ever be confused for cool, Ember Moon, back in her like NXT peak. Without question, is not the case now. Like, she's a bit of a geek. A pat has been exposed as kind of rubbish. If nothing else, she can play like this respected veteran NXT presence. No pun intended, because I hate them. And I hate wordplay. But the embers of which are just flickering strongly enough where on the TakeOver stage, people will probably think, right, okay, I can take her seriously as someone who was once there, and it might do a lot for Gonzalez, but my God, when I look at that combination, I'm not looking forward to the build at all.
It was non-committal from the off, potentially, because you had the match followed by the segment where they had to get the heat back, which I didn't really like. So I thought the match was pretty decent. But yeah, I didn't particularly like that beatdown last week for what it was. Not like for the actual quality of the beatdown, which looked pretty convincing, but for what it was trying to set out to achieve, which was to just kind of like have your cake and eat it too. But yeah, Gonzalez and Moon is the match. Gonzalez and Shotzi's quite interesting as well. And I think you could use one to get to the other, if only because Shotzi will bump insanely well for Gonzalez's offense, as she has done before. Was either in the Dusty Cup or for the tag belts, just to finish where Gonzalez murked them both at the very end. One to build to the other is actually quite nice because they've done a pretty good job of like making you believe Moon and Blackheart's relationship. It's like they started life as a force together tag team. They're a little bit more than that now. And this is probably where you cash out on that, where you get two singles matches, one for television, one for TakeOver, out of both the members of that tag team. Both should mesh well with Gonzalez. Probably Moon for TakeOver, as Sajuk points out. There's probably a better TakeOver quality match in that than the Shotzi one for now.
Still enjoying the dynamic between Gonzalez and Kai, though, Hamper.
Yeah, it's just everything it needs to be. It's patient, and I do feel like, and I haven't been able to say this for about 18 months to 2 years, like NXT can be patient. So I think they'll be patient with this storyline. It doesn't look to me as if they're in any great rush to get to this any earlier than like whatever TakeOver goes to SummerSlam. For me, you go further. I think you put them in War Games together and you maybe have things really start to fall apart there, like on the same team, I mean, because Gonzalez was so dominant last year. and Dakota Kai turned 2 years ago. So they've both got like interesting history around war games. Mm. And I do trust this brand to be patient with that because it looks like they're going to be.
More fallout from last week. Wouldn't be WWE without Spooky Bollocks pamphlet. Or Tian Sha targeting Mercedes Martinez with that smoke and mark on the hand nonsense last week?
Yes. And it's absolutely the right way to go. The match with Raquel Gonzalez was a massive disappointment, but the booking was spot on. It's exactly who and what Mercedes Martinez is. She has horse fights with the monsters of the women's division. And in this case, we have a literal monster of the women's division. So you can apply the hoss fight principle to that. She can also absorb a defeat. The match quality can be of a good standard. And yeah, it's going to be a real test of the Chan Sha gimmick because as we saw when they were dealing with like inferior losers, it's pretty much a hop, skip and a jump to an NXT title match.
Hmm.
This is a pretty good way of delaying having to have that quite awkward conversation.
Do you know what this could be quite useful for in terms of, like you say, you've had Xia Li just sort of run through people, jobbers mostly on NXT. But the whole thing of her and Boa being taken and transformed by this 1,000-year-old dragon lady woman, right, is that they were like kind of put through the ring, and that's what we saw week in and week out of them getting bloody tortured or whatever. Therefore, you'd want to see sort of Mercedes Martinez get some offense in here, and you'd think, oh wow, the old sort of Xia Li would be getting her head kicked in and sort of tapping out, or not tapping out physically, but you know, being looked like she was done. And then you can really sell her on the fact of like, oh no, she's become hardened through her experience through this bloody water torture or whatever they've put her through, that now she can actually beat someone of Mercedes Martinez's level.
When you say things like that and it's wrapped around that gimmick, I think just do more stupid stuff. Stupid doesn't have to be the word. Do more extravagant, silly sports entertainment things. I don't want this to be boring. I can't possibly take it seriously. I want to see the thing get out of the chair and have a match. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the novelty has worn off, this perverse novelty of Tian Sha. So just give me the novelty again. That's all I care about. I only care about being stupid and silly. It's an inspired pairing, as we've said today and in fact last week. Like, good skull, someone who can just lose. All of it is aggressively fine. I don't want to like use these just a totally numb, detached, faint praise takes on the ridiculous stuff with dragons. Let's make it silly.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, we've got very recent precedent for this with WWE and the monsters, especially in the pandemic era. She's going to get out of a chair and, oh, it's a monster. And she's going to grab a hold.
Then I can't, that's what I want. I want the dragon lady to grab a hold, man. That's what I want.
Like a 1,000-year-old dragon ghost, like, packs a mean headlock.
I'm still weirdly into this, like you say. And I think rather than do the old classic sort of like, I don't know, smoke or mist in the face gimmick to cost Mercedes Martinez, whether she blows it in Xia Li's face and that sort of powers her up, gives her some mythical, I don't know, some bollocks like that. We all know the fancy stuff that they can pull out of this. Speaking of guilty pleasures, let's conclude, Sige, by talking about love here on the NXT preview. Will Indi Hartwell and Dexter Lumis ever be together?
Yes, and they'll be a wedding and they'll probably pop a nice little rating.
Oh!
Look, I like it. It's got that, it's stupid, so you don't care about that. They could just watch the telly together and have it off afterwards. Because then they'll realise there's been many a misunderstanding along the way. So that's silly, but who cares? The chemistry's there. In terms of how to build it, please steer away from the idea that she probably would have consented. She's into us.
Mm.
Not on. Not on at all. Terrible message to circulate. I'm trying to wrap this together, this storyline. And how do you get the girl? Just as a question. It's a bit of banter. It's an NXT podcast. We need it. We've got it. So, yeah, probably be a good match. Yeah. It's a bit of banter. How do you get the girl?
Well, if you're writing NXT for Dexter Lumis, it's guilt trip her or frighten her or make her feel threatened.
How do you actually get the girl? I don't know what your game is.
I ain't got any game, Jesus Christ. Oh, I married the first one that liked me. the way can do this, they can. Like, get Gargano's stuff with Karrion Kross done, and then, like, they can get this over the line, get it to that wedding, get it to that destination. I think, like, it's still good. It's the only pig that is still good. Indy Hartwell's...
It's a question, like, or the answer to the question. How do you get the girl?
How do I get the girl? Or how does Dexter Lumis get the girl?
Just you. The royal you.
I ain't got anything for this, because
I don't know how to get it either, but I just want to know.
I'm losing interest.
How do you get the girl?
I'm losing interest.
What I'd suggest is he starts doing some funny accents. Solid route to go down. No, I think he's going to get some flowers, but they're black flowers because he's dark.
Just a big, massive, romantic gesture.
So glad you went that direction. I really was concerned for 30 seconds there.
You know what I was going to say? Yeah, just she wants to feel loved, Indy Hartwell. She's confused. She doesn't know whether he really likes him. And then when it was revealed that he does really like her, she bloody ruined it, didn't she?
Where's he gone? He's there when nobody wants him there. And now when we actually need him around, he's none. He's gone again. Like, where is...
Stolly's... Ever so many romantic misunderstandings. I just want the juxtaposition of this creep. This weird bastard, Dexter Lumis, just do something totally and unashamedly romantic that you'd expect some nerd to do. Not that he isn't a geek, but you know what I mean? Like, I want to see Dexter Lumis and big public display of affection in the same conversation, in the same sentence. I don't necessarily know what that is, but it's time to go big on this. It's a comedy storyline, and there's a lot of juxtaposition in comedy, and that's like the idea of Dexter Lumis just outwardly showing his affection. And I want it more to the point. I want to see Indy Hartwell sell the life out of it.
He's going to complete the Jed Maxwell aesthetic and pull his top off, and there's going to be a tattoo of her face up the chest to go along with all the pictures on the wall, her and David Copperfield.
What about, like, just a picture of the both of them?
Yeah.
Like, because he's an artist. So big, massive picture, gold frame. Like, I love the bit where Indy Hartwell's eyes went, when it was like, who want to be choked out by Lumis? And Hartwell's like, me? Some kind of kink-based,
yeah,
massive illustration of Dexter and Indy getting it on. And I think that'd be a really good visual gag. It'll be true to the character. A painting.
Yeah, painting away in
it. Massive painting of Hartwell and Lumis. Like, I don't know. From behind, I guess.
Like Omega and Catalyst.
That's kinky, isn't it? I'm married as well.
The only thing I was going to say, you just made me think about this, is in terms of, like, future predictions. It's not this. It's not now. It's not this big. It's not even the big gesture you're talking about. 100%, though. When he proposes to her, the ring should already be on a severed finger. Just a thought. Just ask them what's going to happen, because he's weird.
Like, take that. It off one and put it on the other.
I wanted to give you my grandmother's ring, but it's just on this decomposing finger.
Hey, that's good stuff. We should book this.
We should. We really should.
I don't want to be anywhere near Road Dog, so I'll do it remotely.
Well, let us know your thoughts ahead of NXT tonight and your big romantic gestures on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. You can follow all three of us whilst you're there. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from. For daily wrestling podcast, the Raw review is available right now. Our Double or Nothing review will be up later on. And of course, our NXT review will be there tomorrow as well. But for now, this has been the NXT preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.